Morning, everyone. Just regarding what Jared was saying, how important prayer was for politicians and the miraculous and impossible things that can happen when people pray. I remember in 1974, I was at a prayer meeting on a Saturday night in Redcliffe, and there was a young pastor there, and his dad was there, and we're praying about the government, we're praying about the land, and we had a government that in at that time that Christians were wishing wasn't and were praying regarding. And we're all in this prayer meeting and this older man gets hold of God like I don't think I had ever heard anyone ever. And he called on God and said, "Remove those who are hindrances to your word, Lord, remove them." And he said it with such an anointing and power. And I thought, yeah, fat chance, because stuff was as it was in the political world, you know. You just sort of think, yeah. So the next day I go to the airport to pick someone up, and they were this person sitting on a seat and had the newspaper opened out, and right across the back was Whitlam sacked. And it took me days to get over it. I thought, oh, God, that man had power with you. He prevailed. So, you know, prayer does work. And let's face it, who of us would have thought we'd wake up one morning to a Pentecostal Prime Minister? Whatever your views are, that's still a bit of a challenge. That's a mighty move. Anyway, I believe if we pray, we will see a breakthrough and yokes broken and opportunity for freedom and release of the gospel in our country. So this morning, I want to talk to you about something that those of us who've been around a while, we've probably heard 1,000 sermons on this. We've probably got 10 books on it. And there was an era way back where it's all you ever heard about. But it's something we really need to be reminded of. And it's walking in the Spirit. So a park ranger at a Yellowstone National Park was leading a group of hikers up a mountain through forest to a fire lookout. And he got so involved with showing everybody all the flowers and the fauna and the animals and showing this group of people, and he was so excited. There were some messages on his phone that he thought were a bit distracting, so he turned it off. You know, somebody was trying to get through, but he just turned it off. And so he kept showing this tree and these leaves and these flowers, and then all of a sudden a breathless man came down from the lookout and said, "Quick, quick, didn't you get the messages? Didn't you get the messages?" And he said, "No." He said, and the man yelled at him and said, "There's a grizzly bear behind you that's been stalking the whole group as you've been moving up the mountain." And let me tell you, any time we tune out the Holy Spirit or ignore the warnings of the Bible, we put ourselves and those all around us in danger. Ignoring the Spirit. You know, any time we tune out the Holy Spirit, we ignore the warnings of the Bible, we put ourselves in a very vulnerable place. For some people, the Holy Spirit is somebody, you know, he's there when you need him. He's there, you know, always there. You can always trust the Holy Spirit to be there when you need him. But he's not necessarily someone you team up with closely and obey all his promptings every day of life. Romans 8:14 said, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God." So those who are led by the Spirit are those who've had submitted to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. He is the boss. He is the boss. He leads. This assumes we give control of our lives over to somebody else. Wow, that's scary. But I tell you what, not doing it is scarier still. Listening to the Spirit is safety, is God's plan for your life. Not submitting to his leadership can be devastating. You know, in our society, surrendering to someone else's leadership is almost obnoxious. You know, we're egalitarian and we're this and we're that and we've got our rights and we just live on rights these days. Too bad about ethics, but rights, you know, we've got them. But do you know, it's far worse not to let the Holy Spirit take control. I make my own decisions, I do it my way. Do you know that ad you see on telly sometimes? It says, "I want it all, I want it all, and I want it now." That's unfortunately the theme song of our society. But for those who have a relationship with God Himself, it's the greatest step to liberation and fulfillment that you will ever take. There's no greater or joy or peace in our life. You know, there's no other personality, deity, or belief system that will lead you into your destiny. There's nothing else on this earth, no other religion, no other deity, nothing can take you to your place of destiny. Only the Holy Spirit has been given the authority to do that. The Holy Spirit's the only one who can take you to a purposeful, meaningful, fruitful, fulfilled life. Only He can do that. You running your life, well, we know by now that can be a real failure. So daily surrender to the will of the Holy Spirit means we submit to His leadership moment by moment. We trust Him, we honour Him, and we actually believe He knows more than us. That's amazing. So what's the value of the Holy Spirit, Him leading us every day? Well, He promises to lead us and guide us into all truth. That's pretty profound. He leads us into victory, fulfillment, freedom, and destiny. He leads us into effectiveness, fruitfulness, to become like Jesus. He leads us to step out in the gifts of the Spirit, like Bev this morning and Debbie. Sometimes He might lead us into the wilderness like Jesus and then bring us out very empowered by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes He leads us into loving discipline to enable us to grow. Sometimes He leads us into precarious situations. You know where the psalmist said, "He gives me hinds feet in high places"? The situation is sticky, dangerous, precarious, but we are given the wherewithal to negotiate that and come out as an overcomer. He never leaves us or forsakes us. Wherever we are, He guides. There's no place you can go or be where if you say, "Holy Ghost, help me, what now?" that He won't respond. He leads us to the strengthening of our faith. He leads us out of ourselves into Christ. He leads us and empowers us to impact our world and to fulfill the Great Commission. So following His lead gives us strength and power. Remember the scripture, "You shall receive power." He gives us direction and comfort. "Behold, I will send the Comforter." He gives us understanding of God. Jesus said, "He will take of mine and declare it to you." He gives us answers for life's challenges, healing to relationships, restoration, breakthrough, a strong sense of purpose, a worthwhile life. Hope-filled days, days of hope, days of joy. Following Him is the answer to all that our hearts crave for. In every person that's born, there's something in there that wants to hear God's way of doing things and get to His destination. You know, in Scripture there's three clear places that the Holy Spirit leads us. First of all, He's a revelator. He's a revealer. He gets us to know our God. This is His revealing work. He reveals the heart of the Father. Remember Paul said, "I want to know Him." The Holy Spirit is taking you on a journey to know God deeper and deeper. You know, when I was first saved and I got touched by God and I could talk to God and He was talking to me and it was wonderful. But you know, now 49 years later, I know Him a whole lot more. So the Holy Spirit leads us on a journey to know Him deeply. In Ephesians, Paul has prayed a prayer for them saying that he wished that through the Spirit to know the heights and depths and breadth of His love. So we actually have to survive, to be encouraged in our life, we need to be filled up with knowing about the love of the Father. I believe the Holy Spirit inspired that guy to write that song that said, "You're a good, good father." Holy Spirit's job is to help reminding you how kind the Father's heart is, how full of love that he is. Jesus, talking about the Holy Spirit, said, "He'll glorify me, he'll take of what is mine and declare it to you." And he said it twice. "I said, he will take of mine and declare it unto you." He reveals the love and kindness of our God. And without that revelation of God, we can live very poorly. We do not. If we have to know intensely and deeply his passion for us. I know a couple who actually were in this church many years ago, and they had been battered around in church. They had some rough times, and they, when they were here, they're often very under the weather. They were not happy. It was very hard to get them out of this place of disgruntlement, and they left the church and they went somewhere else, and they heard about a course. In this course, it was one that opened up your mind and your heart to the love of the Father. And it was maybe a 2-week or 3-week course. And they began to be intensely bombarded with scripture and thoughts about the heart of the Father, the love of God, which they had forgotten and lived empty of for a long, long time. And as they began to get filled up with this consciousness, they became a lot more confident. They became a lot more encouraged. They suddenly saw hope in their life again. This was the Holy Spirit taking them on a journey to get out of their dark place and into a place of effectiveness. I saw them after that. Yes, difficulties had arisen again, but now they were applying the truth that the Father loved them dearly, that they had the backup of the Father with what they were doing. And so then after again a few more years, I visited with them and I saw that they were now reaching out to others. They were whole enough to reach out to others and be a blessing to others in their family and community. And so that's the journey the Holy Spirit took them on, because he was taking them into their biggest answer, which was to be fully aware of the love of the Father. So I love that about the Holy Spirit. I also too was at a meeting through the week in another church, and there was a lovely young woman there who I've met with before, and she was sharing me her heart and was saying to me that this was wrong. She felt discouraged, she felt overwhelmed, and while I'm sitting there talking to her, I could see her inner vessel was empty from knowing about the love of the Father for her and who he had made her and what he had done for her in Christ. And so I'm sitting there thinking, Lord, how can I say something to prompt this girl into the direction of where you want to lead her, which is into your heart and into your encouragement? And so I said something like, why don't we meet and we just look at some scriptures about what God thinks about you and that. Well, suddenly she dropped everything, flung her arms around me and hugged me and said, oh Gwen, that's what I want to do. I want to do it. So we're starting off a journey together. And I can see that scripture where it says, perfect love casts out all fear. God is perfect love. The Father is perfect love. And today, if you're feeling drained, why don't you draw near and say, Holy Spirit, reveal his love afresh to me. Open up my heart so that I could be saturated with that awareness. We can't go far without drawing into the Father's love. The Holy Spirit's job is to reveal as we draw near. The second thing I believe the Holy Spirit does is he's a sanctifier. He's the one who's going to help transform you with your cooperation into the image of Jesus Christ. So his sanctifying work, he'll transform us with our cooperation. That's a point to remember. He helps us represent Christ more fully. He helps us allow the graciousness of God to flow through our life. He helps us for that patience, that long-suffering to happen when you could scream. He is the one that enables us to reminds us that we died our old nature died so that we could live in the new person. He actually leads us into the death of the old. Does anybody remember the crucified life? The crucified life is so not popular. It's not sort of like preached about an awful lot anymore, where you actually die to your thing and stay alive to God's. There are times in life when God brings you to encounters at the cross. And I had a marvellous opportunity to hear, and those of you who heard the testimony with me, please bear with me while I share it with everyone. I asked this lady if I could have the permission to share with you as a congregation an instance where God was sanctifying her and leading her into the death of her old and into the new. She had been a missionary with her husband in the Middle East for years. They'd had four children, and I think the last one was a son. They came back to Australia to live. Their son married I think she's a half Egyptian lady from a Coptic church, and they, for some reason, decided to pull away from my friend and her husband. They're pastors. It's a pastor and his wife in the locality, and they began to pull away and not have anything to do with them. And it began to be quite a pain in my friend's heart. She really was very sad over it. Now, this went on for 10 years, and it meant that she could have no input to her grandchildren. And it began to be a burden and a real deep pain in her heart. And finally, one day, she went to God about it all. She was so hurt over it that she felt the Lord say to her, "Daughter, it's time to die." Because it was something she couldn't do anything about. He said, "It's time to die to all the resentment, the self-pity over it, the burden that's brewing in your heart. Give it over to me. Give it to me." So she repented. She suddenly realized how self-piteous, how obsessed she was with her rights as grandmother, how obsessed she was with this and that. And so she gave it all over and cleaned her heart out right there before God. And she was filled with peace. Did you know, 18 months later, her son rung her and said, "Mum and Dad, we want to talk with you." They came to their house, they sat down and chatted, and the first thing the son said was, "Mum, I want to apologise." This gets me. "I want to apologise, and so does my wife, for the way we've behaved, the way we held out on you for all these years, and the way that we've withheld our children from you." And they were totally restored. Sometimes I think we are the biggest hindrance to God getting about doing his stuff. We're going to react. It was a hard thing. And yes, we're allowed to feel pain, but we really haven't got a right to get bitter and twisted. So I loved that about it. Sometimes the Holy Spirit leads you through a very challenging situation so that outside of it, you get moved past you and leave something at the cross and move on into the new life of trusting your God. So he sanctifies us. He leads us into the paths of righteousness. I think I might leave that there and kick it again. He leads us into these paths of righteousness. And this is what the Spirit's job is. And these are the times we're not to fight him and to say, "Yes, I yield. And there are times when you will have to submit and say, "Okay, God, I give up. I stop fighting. I give up." I know I personally had a situation like that in my life. It wasn't to do with grandkids or anything, but there was something that really, really I struggled with. And finally, one day, God spoke to me in a very clear way, and I realized that I'd made a mountain out of nothing, and I needed to sit down and repent and hand over the stuff or myself in it. And that issue was resolved 4 months later, completely resolved. So Holy Spirit's got these ways of leading us into being more like Christ and trusting him. You know, as I said, we have a right to feel pain and loss, but not to get self-piteous, bitter and twisted. And you know, there's a little line there. We can feel pain and give it to God. We can feel pain and get sour as an old boot. So this is what he's leading us out of. So the third work, which I absolutely love, he leads us to sow into transform and impact our world. It's his empowering work. The first one, he's a revealer. The second one, he's a sanctifier. And the third one, he's empowerer. He extends his kingdom through us. You know, in Acts, Paul and Barnabas were set aside for the work of the ministry by the Holy Spirit. In Asia, the Holy Spirit stopped them from ministering there at that time. Peter, after a trance, was told he was to go with some men who knocked at his door and go and tell them the gospel. These were very clear directions. And sometimes we're being led by the Holy Spirit and we're unaware of his overall plan. You know, when Joan wasn't able to see her grandkids, she's given me permission to say her name. When Joan couldn't see her grandkids, there was a time there where the Holy Spirit spoke to her and said that she would minister in a prison in North Brisbane, a women's prison. She was so excited about it, and she got really full of joy. So she went to the prison and she applied for the job as a chaplain, and they refused her and told her she was too old. So she couldn't believe it. She said, "But God, you spoke to me." And somehow, through circumstances, an organisation enabled her to go into the prison regularly, weekly, one day a week, to have an office of her own and to minister to these broken women, and she's led some to Christ. So in the middle of all of this, God's ways are sometimes, if we just follow him and listen and hear, even though we might not understand how he works it out, he gets us to that destination. You know, I love how that scripture says the steps of a good man or woman are ordered of the Lord. So now that same lady, after she got the pipes cleared with her son and daughter-in-law, suddenly noticed that women with real brokenness kept crossing her path. So she began to gather all these ladies together and meet with them every fortnight. And she would hear about their hurts. She'd sow scripture into them. She'd pray with them. That's been going on for quite some time. That was listening to the Spirit, realizing that he was bringing these people across her path for a purpose, and she wanted to feed into them. She also then began or had been doing a Bible study every alternate Tuesday night. So God was leading her to be effective. She was a lady very yielded to him, wanted to listen to the Spirit, wanted to hear, wanted to please God with all her heart. And he led her, he sanctified her, and he led her into effectiveness. So how does he lead us? What's our responsibility in all of this? Well, we need to draw near to listen to the still small voice. We actually lean in and say, "Hi, Holy Ghost, I want to know what you're doing today. Hi, Holy Ghost, what are you up to?" I love driving in my car to the art gallery every Friday because I've got a whole half an hour of worshipping and singing, praying in tongues and talking to the Holy Spirit. The last couple of weeks I got so overcome with joy, I remember shouting in the car, "Oh, I love you, Holy Spirit!" You know, something just overtook me. I just couldn't. I wanted to shout. I wanted to stand on the car. I wanted to... And, of course, you look around then at the lights and realise that you've got an audience. But we have got to nurture that intimacy with the Holy Spirit. We've got to tune in and say, "Hi, Holy Ghost." You know, the man who walked up the mountain, he just turned the Holy Spirit off, so to speak. So sometimes we can do that. We can turn him off to do what we think's the way to do. Remember, every battle that David won in the Old Testament was because he sought God first. What do you want here, God? I want you older Pentecostals to stir up the gift that is within you and to lean heavily into that wonderful person of the Holy Spirit. We need to listen to that still small voice who says, "This is the way, walk ye in it." We need to soak in the word of God so that what we're hearing is definitely biblical. How can we avoid making independent choices? It's developing the habit of tuning in and asking for his help. And start to cultivate that loving relationship. There's nothing wrong, if you've neglected him, there's nothing wrong with sitting down and saying, "Hi, Holy Spirit, I've really been a bit of a dry chip on this Holy Spirit thing." Just tell him like it is and say, "Can you help me change? Can you help me change this? Can you help me get something out of my Bible? Can you help me know your leading? Can you help me know what your voice, what you are saying to me in these situations? Because I thirst to hear what God wants for my life. I thirst to be effective and to have a fulfilled life. I thirst to hear your voice so I can be productive and be effective in the evangelization of Caboolture. I want to hear your voice and know that you are speaking to me." I remember when we first opened, this is a long time ago, when Kmart was first opened in Caboolture. Has anybody been born before that? Well, I remember we had a fantastic prayer meeting in Debbie and Jared's place, and we were praying about this new building of Kmart. I don't know why I was praying that, but I saw it as an opportunity to meet people and connections and everything. And then one day after it was built, I walked in there and I thought, "Lord, what have you got in here? What have you got in here?" And so I walked into a shop and I saw a woman who I knew to be the pastor's wife of the then Uniting Church. And she was with her mum. I said hello. But as I walked away, I sensed this something that wanted to go back and connect with her. So I'm walking down the street and I thought, "Lord, you do want me to say something. What do I want to say? I don't know what to say. I don't even know the woman." Well, the next shop I walked into was this woman was there. So I knew that something was on. So I went over to her and said, "Oh, hello. How are you?" And she said, "You know my husband died." I said, "No, I didn't know." And she said, "Well, I'm a bit lost. I don't want to go back to that church because you don't when the pastor moves on. That was the tradition of their church." So I said, "Why don't you come and have morning tea with a bunch of ladies?" So she did come. She came, her son got saved, her daughter-in-law got saved. And that was because the Holy Spirit actually stirred me, because if I hadn't been listening, which could have been likely, I would have missed my chance with that woman. So sometimes we have to listen to those nudgings, those promptings. I got up the last few weeks because of having this test on my heart and then feeling a bit weak for the 3 weeks after it. I felt a lot of time at home. I was reading and praying and not much else. And then one Monday morning, I don't know whether everybody prayed for me or what, but I got up, I felt a whole lot better, I felt refreshed, but I felt a strong prompt to go to Regis Nursing Home and visit with the ladies that I usually visit on a Thursday. And so off I went, and I had the best time with all these ladies, plus I bumped into Lola Wenham. So I had a great chance talking with Lola, encouraging her, and I came home that day and I knew I'd been led by the Spirit for the day. The last 3 weeks I was led by feeling rotten, but it seemed like, but suddenly the Holy Spirit was right there to give me purpose and meaning and opportunities in my day. So I believe that every person in this place, if you tune in and say, "Okay, lead me, Spirit of God, teach me," you will come to an effective, fruitful, and get a lot more joy in your life. He gives you hope in your day. But Gwen, what about having 6 kids and 3 jobs and all the rest of it? I believe he's a master at negotiating 6 kids and 3 jobs. I believe he's a master at speaking to you in the middle of those circumstances. I believe he's a master at drawing near in the middle of when everything's chaotic. I remember being in the emergency department at the hospital, signing out some dangerous drugs, and suddenly a sense of the presence of God overwhelmed me so intensely that I still could do my work, but I felt that every part of the room was filled with God himself, and it was just a gorgeous moment, a gorgeous moment. I puzzled at why he did it. 2 weeks later, the boss of the department, who is the medical director or the emergency department director at that time as a Christian. He wasn't long saved. He came up to me and he said, "Gwen, do you get the feeling when you come into this department every day that the devil's everywhere?" I said, "That's funny you should say that." I said, "Because I've got this overwhelming feeling God's everywhere." He said, "Look, maybe I'll try that." So, because he would read in the morning, pray all the way down in the car, get into the department, and it'd be chaos with everything, and he'd feel like he was in hell. I said, no. When the doors open, it's full of God. And so he said, "All right, I'll try that." And a couple of weeks later, he came and he said, "I think it's working." So we have got to know that our God is with us, directing us, leading us, improving the quality of your life. It's not meant to be mundane. It's not meant to be just a drag and going from this to this. Tune in. Stir up the gift. Okay, Holy Ghost, I've been neglectful. I have been bored witless for the last few months. Where are you? I want more. I want to hear your prompting so that I can achieve your purposes in the earth, so that I don't live just for myself. If he gives you directions, obey him. Galatians 5:16 says, "Walk by the Spirit and you'll not gratify the desires of the flesh." Galatians 5:25 says, "Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." I want to read a verse of a psalm and then we'll finish. It is one of the most gorgeous psalms. Psalm 139:7-10. "Where can I go to flee from your Spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? I can't. He's everywhere. If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me." If you get yourself into the biggest mess of all time and you're flat on your face before God, he will lead you. "Even there your hand will lead me and your right hand will lay hold of me." He will not let you go. He will not let you go. But you do need to do your part, which is to press in, to lean in and say, "Holy Ghost, I need your help." He's the one that Jesus sent for us to have that vital, empowered, strengthened life in the midst of all the stuff that goes on, in the middle of it all. Look, why don't we just bow our heads in prayer? Maybe this morning you felt like you have neglected the Holy Spirit. You haven't walked closely with him. You haven't developed that intimacy that you should have. You've just kind of lived your life, and if it's doing okay, it's doing okay. But maybe today is a day to say, "I need you more. I need you." We can't. Our country is traveling into very difficult or interesting times. So we need to be a Spirit-led people. We need, for safety's sake of our own and all the people around us. Lord, I just ask today that these people would so sense your love and your overwhelming caring and protection for them, your love, your yearning heart to have communication with them. Your yearning heart. They cause you such rejoicing. You love them so dearly. You sometimes stop all of heaven just so that you can watch somebody pleasing you on the earth. So, Lord, I pray you, the Holy Spirit's job of revealing the Father would be accelerated this week. It would be accelerated. And, Lord, this transforming part, this sanctifying part of the Holy Spirit, we would allow it, Lord. We yield. We say yes today. And for those who want to step out in the Spirit, Lord, we trust you to lead us and direct us. We want to practice following you, even if it's a bit risky, Lord. Even if it clashes with our comfortableness, Lord, we want to listen to what you say to do. Lord, I just ask you to strengthen us all in this. We do want to be those people on fire, those people who are stirred in the Spirit, that are led by the Spirit of God, like Peter was, like Paul was. Lord, we want to hear your voice so clearly that we'd never let it go. We're chasing you today. We will not give up until you bless us, Lord. And Lord, we want to see that purpose and that joy and fulfillment in our days full of hope. Thank you for that, Lord. Amen.